Hey, good day to you. This is Dave your time. How are you all? Once again, we take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you, first of all, for allowing this transmission to occur in this manner and through this particular window on this day of your time. Each and every time you allow such a transmission to be conducted, a link is formed, a bridge is built between our respective realities, and we get to experience, through our interactions with each and every one of you, more and more perspectives, more and more facets, more and more aspects of the infinite, and more points of view of creation. And this expands our understanding of all that creation can be. And so we thank you for this gift of sharing. We would like to begin this transmission with the following idea. We would like to remind each and every one of you, individually and collectively, all together, about an idea that we will call learning the difference between falling into the illusion of power, the difference between that and learning to use the power of the illusion. Many individuals on your planet for quite some time have fallen under the illusion of power, thinking that power exists in the outside world and must be, in a sense, harvested, must be attained, achieved, that things, circumstances, situations, even people, must be somehow manipulated, controlled, brought into the position that you desire them to be brought into in order to achieve a certain thing. Many individuals have fallen under this illusion of power, and of course the result has been a great deal of strife, separation, segregation, pain, suffering, and so forth. But now, many individuals are beginning to awaken from the illusion of power and are beginning to be able to actually use the power of the illusion. They are beginning to understand that physical reality doesn't really exist outside you, that you are physical reality, it exists within you, that the power of the illusion is in learning that it is, in a sense, an illusion, learning that that's what reality is, and in learning that it is manufactured, in a sense, within you, learning the means by which this is done, learning the means by which you can change it internally by changing yourself, and understanding that as you change yourself, so you change the entire world. For each and every change is a total change, not just a small change, but a total change. And when you know that physical reality is a mirror, a reflection of your strongest beliefs, your strongest thoughts, what you believe is possible, most likely to occur, then you can use the outer mirror illusion reflection as a guideline, a marker, a reminder of what kind of thoughts you are having, what kind of definitions you are believing, what kind of concepts you are buying into. And you can use it as a feedback system to show you whether or not you prefer to maintain those beliefs and those definitions. And if not, then to learn to change them and to see the outer reality reflection change along with the change within you. But as I've said before, and this is one of those, what you call in your language, catch-22s, is the idea that it must be an unconditional change, must be an unconditional internal change, which is another way of saying that if you make a condition of changing, in other words, you say, I will change if I get then the response I want to get, then you are making it conditional, and you are still putting the power outside yourself. You are still projecting outside yourself and saying that the power of change comes with the outside, comes with the change in the outside, rather than simply determining that the change has happened within you, and that you are who you want to be for its own sake, regardless of what goes on around you. In other words, that's the secret of true change, is that you will change and will behave differently than you did before, even if the outside reflection is still the same. When you can be that, When you can behave differently than you did before, even when the outside hasn't changed, then you have really changed. And when you then have really changed, the outside has no choice as a reflection, like in a mirror, but to change, to mirror you. But if you do it to get the change, you short-circuit it, and it will not happen, because you make it conditional. That's the power of the paradox in this situation. And the power of the paradox between the difference of the illusion of power and using the power of the illusion. Now, when we say illusion, again, understand, in your semantics, in your language, that's what reality is. It doesn't mean that there is no reality, except that there is no reality except what you define it to be. But that's what reality is. We are not saying it doesn't exist, but we are saying simply that reality is only the definitions you bring to the forefront of your belief system structure. And that forms the reflection, the illusion, if you wish, that you see, that you perceive all around you. Now again, remember, this is not just a philosophy, this is physics. You are energy. Energy is information. You are patterns of information. You are a perspective. You are a point of view, of consciousness, of awareness, of existence itself. That's what each and every one of you are, a point of view. And as you design and define your point of view of who and what you believe yourself to be, or who and what you believe yourself capable of being, that's what you get reflected. It may not always be a one-to-one reflection. Literally, it may be quite symbolic, because the reality mirror, the illusion, is, in that sense, capable of reflecting back to you in many symbolic ways, the representative of many states and levels of your consciousness, your emotional self, your spiritual self, your mental self, your bodily self. There are many different ways that your mirror has of reflecting back to you those symbols that are representative of the beliefs you hold most true. And so it is up to you to be imaginative, to be able to learn to interpret your own reality around you, the things that you see, the people that you meet, all have significance. There are no accidents in that sense. It is a type of orchestration, a choreography, and it is up to you to let it in your heart, your mind, your spirit, your body, to let it in, to be open to what your reality has to say to you, to what your reflection is showing you about yourself, so that you can learn to truly master the power of the illusion, instead of being the slave to the illusion of power that many of you in your society have succumbed to for thousands of your years. This is what this transformation is all about, that's going on in consciousness on your world, the awakening, the opening up of yourself to more of yourself, the realization of who and what you really are, what you were really created to be, and thus the total surrender, that is to say, total acceptance of yourself, so that reality can show you who you actually are, rather than playing the illusion game of who you think you're supposed to be, which only has you running around in circles and tiring you out. And you have been so very tired for so very long as a society. Time to energize and wake up. And the way you will do that is to surrender to who you are. Accept who you really are in your heart of hearts as a dreamer, as an imaginative creator. And accept reality as a reflection of you. You're not a victim in any way, shape, or form, on any level whatsoever, unless you decide that's the game you want to play. And if you do, it will be allowed, because you are always supported in everything you decide is true. Because, again, infinite creation is nothing but unconditional allowance and love, and will allow you, through its unconditional support and love, to have any game scenario you want. Even a game scenario wherein you can pretend you are not loved. It loves you that much. And so use that love to your advantage and allow yourself to wake up into that love, to love yourself, and to understand that anything at all is possible for you within the context of the reality that you have chosen, and that you are now expanding even the definition of that reality now that you understand, or at least are beginning to understand, the power behind the illusion. So, as it expands, you will expand, possibilities will expand, reality will change, and you have begun to see many of the symptoms of that as space and time become very much more slippery. And things are not quite so rigid. And all the different belief systems that have existed on your planet for thousands of years are now all coming out at once onto the table, battling it out, in a sense. Positive, negative, pro and con. Everything coming to the surface, all the deep, dark secrets, all the fears, all the doubts, along with all the possibilities of infinite joy, all coming out on the table all at once, so you can choose, because that is the ultimate tool of freedom and power, the ability to know you can choose. And that's all there is to it. And it begins from the realization that that's all you've ever done is choose. What you get is what you chose. Consciously or unconsciously, to believe was the most likely kind of thing you were capable of getting. Now that you can begin to see yourself as a true aspect of the infinite, you will know that infinity is open to you. And it is up to you to determine just exactly how much of that infinity and how much ecstasy you can handle at any given moment. You determine the rate. You are the valve, completely and utterly, that determines the rate of flow of that ecstasy, because it's only your energy that you're going to be feeling. And it's up to you to determine exactly how you want to feel your own vibration, in what context and in what form. Whether you want to feel your own energy as joy, or whether you want to feel your own energy as fear, it's up to you. But both can be instructional and both can be educational, if you use them that way. We will once again thank you for allowing us to experience each and every one of you in this link, in this transmission. And we now ask, in what way may we now be of service to you? You! Good day.
Good day, Bashar.
Speak up so that all may hear what you have to share.
Good day, Bashar.
Thank you. Good day.
Wanted to find out when you actually come to visit us. You have told me before that we will know, but for me as an individual, will I be able to have direct contact with you?
That I cannot say. You will most likely have some direct contact with some member of my species, but I cannot say whether that will actually culminate in a one-to-one contact with my own actual personage.
Because I would very much look...
I understand, and you do not have to patronize or patronage me. The idea simply is that none of these things on that specific level are yet completely decided because of the ebb and flux and flow of how every one of you are creating your reality as you go. Therefore, understand, we are meeting this way now, and this is as real, in a sense, as it gets, but the idea of what you call face-to-face bodily interaction is possible as a probability for any given member of my species, but it will have to remain as a quantum probability until such time as it actually comes to happen, and then you simply find out who it is you happen to be face-to-face with.
Well, based on the way the energy reads now, can you give me a probability of meeting you again, meeting you in person?
About 17%.
Any idea why that low?
Why is that low? It's 17% higher than zero.
True.
Which it will probably be if you ask another question like that. You get the point?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And if you could just kind of fill us in terms of what your plans are between now and then.
I have no plans ever.
in terms of what your activity is going to be.
I have no way of knowing what my activity is going to be.
Okay, or what it's likely to be.
I have no way of telling you that.
Okay, what you're doing, your current position now? Are you still above Cairo?
2,500 miles, yes.
Okay, still 2,500 miles.
I have not yet been 2,500 miles.
Is that the lowest you've been?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So things are, the energy down here is pretty good then.
All right, we'll say it's pretty good.
Is it?
But it's still 2,500 miles short.
Okay.
Of contact.
Okay. And Thursday night, I was out at Area 51, and I was wondering, we saw...
No comment. Thank you.
Bashar!
You!
Good day.
And to you, good day.
I would like to ask, can you explain to us what the photon belt is?
Yes.
Are we experiencing it?
Yes.
And how can we access this for our own selves?
Thank you. Your third question, in a sense, is actually something that can be answered by the first two. Because of what the concept of the photon belt is, will show you how your third question is already answered. The photon belt, even though there will be and is an exteriorized representation of this concept, is something that is representative of the collective consciousness of your own people. In other words, to use an analogy, you are familiar with the idea that as your technology sought to break the sound barrier, and as you built machines that got closer and closer and closer to breaking the sound barrier, there would be a type of buildup, a shock wave, that made it seem more and more difficult to go through that barrier, a type of resistance built up ahead of the aircraft, until such time as the aircraft actually then finally broke through, and after it broke through that particular barrier, then it went much faster and the going, as you say, was much smoother. But until it broke through, there was a buildup and a resistance. Do you follow me so far by analogy?
Yes.
This photon belt is such an analogy, such an idea. The collective consciousness of your entire planet, its idea of crossing a threshold, its recognition of there being the ending of a cycle and the beginning of a new cycle, is causing a buildup of energy. This buildup of consciousness energy expresses itself in your physical reality as electromagnetic energy fields. This electromagnetic energy field that is being referred to as the photon belt is simply the physical representation of the threshold that you're all going through, that you're all crossing, in a sense. It is the resistance you all have to being your full selves. But as you get closer and closer and closer and closer to being your full selves, the resistance will actually seem to be greater and greater and greater and greater and greater until such time as you simply allow yourselves to be your full selves, and then, with a bang, in a sense, you will cross the threshold, and it will be smoother sailing on the other side. And therefore, as this then answers your third question by letting you understand that the more you simply allow yourself to be who you really are, and accept yourself and give yourself unconditional love, the smoother the sailing will be, and the quicker you will be able to cross through that threshold, and the smoother any particular manifestations in physical reality will be. Do you follow that?
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
I believe it does, but I had this thought from other people that kind of said there was some kind of stuff that we're going to pass through it. So we're going to pass...
I just told you, yes.
We're going to pass through our own consciousness and our own
thoughts. That is what you are doing, and your own consciousness does create an electromagnetic effect, and so there will be some outside effects, but the way in which you choose to go through your own consciousness, the way in which you choose to become yourself, the smoother you do that, the smoother the effects will be outwardly. Do you follow that?
Yes, I do.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you. You! Good day.
Good day. I developed this speech problem.
Speech challenge.
Speech challenge.
Yes.
Pretty good, yeah. Over the last 3 months or so.
All right.
And so,
can you be more specific about what you are experiencing symptomologically?
Well, like, my thoughts, what I'm trying to say doesn't come out. What I think, what I am thinking doesn't, my voice will not say those words.
Maybe you don't need to say so much.
I've considered that.
Oh, all right. Now, I am not attempting to be facetious.
Yeah.
But the idea really can have some merit.
Mm-hmm.
It might be simply that you need to understand you're going through a transitional state, and that sometimes certain kinds of transitional states your people will go through will actually mean you do need a type of meditative withdrawal.
Yeah.
You do need to go more into the center of yourself and not really communicate outwardly as much as you think you need to. In other words, say more with less.
I understand.
This really is the reflective analogy, because this is the very crux, the very crux, the very heart of learning the power of your being, to be able to do more with less.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is the secret of all abundance and all creativity and all manifestation. When you learn to do more with less, you will then need to do less to get more. That's what you need to do. And so this is your way, through this communicative style, is your way right now, it may change, but it's your way right now, of slowing yourself down in a sense, seemingly slowing yourself down, so that you can actually paradoxically speed up. But you have to pull yourself in a little bit, let it be all right to be in this space, and change the rate at which and the style in which you communicate, so that you can learn to communicate more efficiently, more effectively, really, truly, by saying more with less. Because remember, the greatest power requires the gentlest touch to get something done. The more you have to do, the less powerful you actually think you are. The greatest power requires the lightest touch and gets everything done. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So relax into yourself, find the new pace within you, and synchronize. Let yourself synchronize. You will. Now, simultaneously, and this goes for all of you, remember, you must begin treating yourselves very well. You must begin treating yourselves very well. You must allow yourselves to be healthy, behave in a healthy manner, make sure you have enough purified water, air, movement, no stress, no toxins. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
All these things are important now, more important than ever, because you are refining your vibrations, refining your energy, and you don't want to necessarily spend energy fighting against yourself. So, for many of you, and I don't mean to plant this in your mind, it can be very simple, but for many of you, it's going to be tough enough without heaping upon yourself all those additional things. So, be kind to yourself. Be nice to yourself. Lighten up on yourself in a variety of ways. Let yourself fall into your appropriate pace and trust that whatever is going on right now, and this can apply to many situations, whatever is going on right now needs to be what is going on right now. Paradoxically, again, when you allow what is to be what needs to be, what is can become what it needs to become. Did you follow that?
Yeah.
When you allow what is to be okay, that it's there, and not fight it, then what is there can become something else. And that something else will be, if you let it, more reflective of your true, bigger, more powerful self. If you let it. Notice I said, you don't have to make it. Just if you let it. Because life is allowance. You follow?
Thank you.
Does this help you?
Yes.
Have I used too many words to explain this to you?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Male, then female. Number one, do you know who you are?
Yes.
All right. Number two, do you know who you are?
Yes.
All right.
Good day, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
Bashar, a few weeks ago, you talked about a template moving into place.
Yes.
over the next 2.5 years.
Template grinding into place.
Right. 2001.
Yes.
And that there was, in a sense, a window of time for us to surrender to ourselves.
Yes.
Past that moment,
things will be a little more difficult.
A little more difficult.
Only in the sense that if you want to align, you'll have to align more quickly, and not that many of you are used to doing it that quickly. I'm not saying it is inherently more difficult. It is more difficult based on your patterns. In the sense that when there's not much time left to align and you have to do it quickly, not many of you know how to do that with grace. You may have to find yourself flailing, kicking, and screaming. You will do it. If you have intended to do it, you will do it. We're just letting you know that if you stop kicking and screaming now, if you let go now, things will be much smoother and much easier than they will be for you later, based on how quickly you yourself will want to accelerate later and how uneasy that may make you feel simply because you're not used to it. Did you follow that logic?
I did, but I'm trying to get a sense of what changes after the year 2001 that's going to make it more
difficult.
You are
reaching critical mass, and it isn't just your year of 2001. That's one threshold. There are many beyond that as well, between 2001 and approximately 2013. It's like a series of stepping up gears. So the idea is that when enough of your society begins to arrive at a certain level of understanding, a certain awakening, a certain frequency, then that frequency acts as a trigger mechanism and makes it more likely for more people to also step up their frequency. So you have had so much attention for so long on your year of 2001, and also that your consciousness is using it as the shifting point in general of a cycle, that it is creating a critical mass. You follow?
Yes, I do.
It's like what you call a snap the whip.
Okay.
And thus then you will find that that wave will come along very quickly. Those who are ready to ride it will grab on and ride it smoothly, because they will have nothing holding them back, nothing weighing them down. Those who have that resistance issue, those weighty issues that they are still dealing with, may find it a little bit more difficult to hold on to the whip when the wave comes by. You follow me?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. The wave analogy helps a lot.
Oh, all right.
Because, in a sense, it's within me, looking at the 2.5 years, I'm thinking, well, I better really get my act together so I can catch that wave, in a sense, between now and then.
But don't do it in a worrisome or judgmental way.
That's my point, because when you use the wave analogy, well, okay, now I'm on the beach, I'm on a board, and I have an opportunity to catch the wave.
All right, well, very good, and you have made a good point. And the point you have made that is good, and good for everyone in this particular gathering, is that it is up to each and every one of you to decide how to interpret this concept, and your interpretation for you is correct. There isn't one way. You have all the basic same understanding of what kind of transition and change is going on energetically. It's up to you to decide exactly what the methodology shall be for how you will relate to it and how it will work best for you. Use whatever terminology and symbology works for you, and that will be correct. Why? Because you came up with it. Because you know what you're doing. Believe it or not, you know what you're doing. You have to trust that. You know what you're doing. And if you mull it around in your imagination, and you could have done it without this conversation, I'm not chastising you, I'm just letting you know, you could have had this conversation in your own head and said, well, you know, you talked about this template grinding and this and that. Well, you know, if I thought about it like a wave, it would make more sense to me and I would understand it.
Right.
You could have had that conversation completely internally, and in fact, you actually have. Because I'm only a catalyst and a trigger. I'm not giving it to you. You are just allowing yourself to give it to yourself in this particular format.
I understand. One of the things that I have learned from you over the years was that your own speed, your own time, we're infinite beings, what's the rush?
Yes.
And then when you threw in that template thing, that it seemed like a mixed message. I had to hurry for some reason.
Oh, I see.
And so that's what I was
trying
to...
Well, that just shows you may have a few semantic bumps to smooth out within you.
All right.
That's all.
Okay.
Because it's all a matter of definition. and it's an opportunity for you to learn to trust yourself instead of all of a sudden hearing a word that you don't right understand and suddenly doubting that you have an understanding of the whole concept just because of that one word. Do you follow?
Yes.
The idea is to say, no, wait a minute, I did understand it, and just because this word doesn't seem to fit doesn't mean I don't understand it now. Find a way to make yourself know you understand it.
Well, that's pretty much what I had to do. It was like, yes. Well, wait a minute, I don't get it the way he's saying it. I'm going to follow my own way.
Thank you. That is what we have always implored all of you to do. Follow your own way. That's what counts.
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Bashar.
Number two.
Hello, Bashar.
And are you good day?
It's been a while.
Oh, all right, if you insist. Speak up and be bold so that all may hear what you have to share.
First, I wanted to say thank you.
All right, thank you. And you're welcome.
I was sort of out in the blue, you might say, and got a hold of your tapes, which sort of explained what was happening to me.
All right. Thank you for your synchronicity and explaining it to yourself. By using us as a reflection.
Okay. A friend of mine is in contact with some ETs.
Yes.
And they state that they will soon be in contact with myself and my mate.
All right.
Could you by any chance...
I trust you're not asking me to verify that.
No. Just give me some idea of where they're from.
Nope.
Okay. Next question.
Yes.
If you're living in a toxic area and
yes.
need to do that for a little bit longer, how can you keep it from overpowering you, so to speak?
You can allow yourself to detoxify in the most natural and organic way possible. Many, many, many applications can be made of what you call natural herbs and such that act as very powerful detoxifiers, and when they are formulated correctly will allow you to go through these detoxifications in a smooth, transitional way. Avail yourself of these ideas and make sure they are as pure as possible.
Okay, and one more question.
Yes.
I seem to be having a little bit of problem with my brain, they tell me.
I see.
And
that is a conundrum.
Yeah. And want me either to have an operation or to have parts burnt with radiation.
I see.
Which I choose not to do.
I see. Again, you may find that some of the ideas, depending upon the time frame and depending upon what you're doing with your own belief systems and what your belief systems most strongly believe they need to do, path of least resistance, allow yourself again to remember that, again, if you have within you set up the structure of an appropriate time frame, you can still alleviate even this with the idea of detoxification in the utilization of pure herbal formulations. What you need to do is make sure that your body is capable of repairing itself. And what this usually implies is that you have to oxygenate it, make sure enough blood is getting to every part of your body, make sure you have enough water so that the cells can flush the toxins out, mm-hmm. and so forth.
Okay.
You follow?
Well, actually, I have an oxygen tank in my living room, which I exercise
Yes, but this
with.
May not be sufficient.
Okay.
The idea is that you have to detoxify the body, and there are herbal concoctions that can do this. If you will do your research, there are also some suggestions and recommendations that can be made by the channel, if you wish, after this transmission, if you wish to talk to him about it.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. One, two, three. Number two, do you know who you are?
Yes.
Number three. Male. Not you. You are number one. Number three.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Number one, good day.
Good day, Bashar. I want to thank you for being here.
I am not there, but thank you for the sentiment.
Well, we are together somehow.
Yes.
Through the years, and think of these connections with lessons which I learned from you, I improved a lot.
You have learned these from yourself, but thank you.
Thank you. And I have a particular question.
Yes.
Through meditation, I have a year ago received an information for certain place in Arizona, certain name of town, surroundings,
yes.
and so on and so
yes.
forth.
Yes, for what purpose, toward what end?
It was for finding something like archaeological thing, which consists of seven plates, which
oh, yes,
are made
yes, yes.
from gold or
yes.
bronze or some
yes.
yellow material,
yes.
and something written over them.
Yes.
I've been so far four times there, and
yes.
I actually discovered the place which came in my meditation.
All right. And
the information which I had is somehow this plates are connected with Asian, Martian visit here, connection.
Not all of them.
Connection with Indians and
yes.
Forming a new civilization, like Aztec civilization or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, in a sense.
Now, I would like to ask you, I have two questions. One of them is if you can track in your collective memory what actually happened, where these plates came from. And my second question is how to proceed with the legal system existing here. What
legal
should I do
system.
With them? Yeah, if I, for instance, if I dig them out...
Yes, you're not going to dig them out right away.
No, yeah, I can go in jail because I have to go through certain procedures and I don't know how to do it.
All right, well, why don't you research and find out? What stops you from finding out how to do it?
Well, the way I consider to do it is to go with the local Indians and to, because it's in regarding their history, and
yes.
to do something with the tribe.
Yes, well, why don't you ask them?
Well, that's my next visit, which will be about 15 days from now.
Oh, well, then what are you talking to me for?
Well, I'm asking you if you can track exactly what happened, how these plates arrived there.
I am not allowed to. You are in mid-process. I cannot interrupt this flow. It is not something that I need to have access of information for. And that tells me that you need to continue, as you're continuing, not worry about the legalities, but do what needs to be done. Stay within your integrity and simply follow through. Communication is the key. Frequency, state of being is the key. Because one thing I can tell you about the seven plates is this. Your vibration is going to have to match each and every one of them before you can find them, one at a time. And as you match their frequency, the plates will, in a sense, step you up a notch each time. And you will know more as you go. But at first, involve those who are involved. Dialogue with them, engage them, communicate, be open, have them help you, let them guide you in that sense. Timing will show you the way. All right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Number two.
Greetings.
And you good day.
In our publication, our New Age publication for this month, they talk a lot about the earth changes.
Yes.
And in particular, earthquakes in Southern California.
Yes.
Do you see that occurring, and how is that going to affect
us? The likelihood of the kind of quake you are talking about in Southern California does not really reach an approximation of occurrence until around 2010. And even then, it is not certain. And as we have said before, and you can apply this if you will remember, the idea is that the more you change yourselves, the less likely it will be that you will have to create circumstances to shake yourselves awake. You can transform the energy. It's your reality. You remember what we said about the idea of reality being an illusion?
Yes.
Then, that can tell you that while it is true that some individuals will believe that they must go through a trial by fire in order to change, not everyone has to. And the idea is that the more you allow yourself to be yourself, the less likely it will be that you need any kind of catastrophic reminder. And you can make the transitions relatively smoothly. And even if you find yourself in the midst of great physical change, if you are centered within your own being, there can be chaos all around you, you will remain untouched. Do you follow
okay,
me?
Yes. And one personal question.
Yes.
I had a visit from time travelers from the future. They were Asasani, one of which was myself in a future lifetime.
And so
what would be the purpose of a visit like that? Is it something laying groundwork for the future? Was it a...
Is that a guess?
No, it's a question.
Yes, well, why did you ask that particular question?
Because I wanted to know why they came back in time.
Well, why did you ask that particular question? You could have asked any number of questions. Why do you suppose you asked that question in that way?
I'd like a clear answer.
You're not getting the point.
Oh.
You asked the question in a certain way. You used certain words. Do you remember what you said? What you just asked? Can
yes.
you think back and ask it again out loud?
I had a visit from time travelers.
Yeah, just ask
the
question.
Oh, and I would like to know what
did
the
that happen to? You said, did that happen in order to lay the groundwork?
Yeah.
You asked
okay.
that question.
Yes.
Well, why did you choose those words, do you suppose?
Well,
why did it occur to you to ask the question?
I thought
that
maybe
way?
They would come back to visit again.
What did you mean when you said lay the groundwork?
Prepare for future contact?
All right. Anything else?
I guess not.
You guess not?
Well, why would a future self come back to see a past person from the past?
All right, well...
To merge together? Are we merging consciousness?
Well, that's one idea. That's one idea. Let me ask you a question, if I may. Why are you attending this interaction?
I guess I'm supposed to be here.
But why? Why are you attending? Why did you decide to come?
My friend insisted.
Insisted?
I don't know what you want me to say.
No, I don't want you to say anything.
I know you want me to think.
The idea simply is this. I am the channel's future self. So what you are seeing right now is one example of the blending and the melding of the future and the past self for a particular reason of delivering information and perspectives. That's one way such a relationship with your own future self can be used. Does that help give you a little bit more of a clue?
Yeah, I'll be speaking with her in the future.
And the idea is that you are shown your future self to become more like your future self in the present. That is the idea that helps you evolve.
But I don't know her, so how
yes,
can I...
Yes, you do.
You do. Yes, okay.
But what you are simply doing is that in your own proper timing, so as not to interfere in your life, you are being reminded of what you already know, bit by bit, piece by piece, so that you can then take on the mantle of that feeling and become your own version of your future self. And that is what will act as a guideline for you to evolve in the way that is most representative of your truth, of your joy, of your creativity. Because that's what the future self represents. Does it not, in general, to most of you? The idea that you have arrived at a place of more completeness, more wholeness, more joy, more abundance, more creativity, does that not, in a sense, sum up the general idea of a future self? Yes, no,
yes,
maybe?
Yes, yes.
Well then, as you allow yourself to become more aware of her existence, you then gravitate toward her frequency and become more like her and become her.
Thank
so it
you.
Acts as a guideline. Does that help you?
Yes.
Why, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for letting this future self talk to your future self. It is whatever temperature you want it to be. Cool or otherwise. Number three.
It's a pleasure to speak with you again, Bashar.
And you as well.
Okay, I was wondering if you could shed some light on the topic of manic depression and what it could be done to help a person more towards the direction of getting out of it.
Yes, get over it.
No, not me. Not me, no.
No, I know. I'm just saying, get over it. Now, again... I do not mean to sound facetious. I will explain. First of all, you must understand that many of the kinds of what you call emotional states that then may lead to mental states on your planet, in your society, in your species, stem first, and foremost from devaluation of the self. You follow me so far?
Yes, I do.
Therefore, the primary ingredient in all such realignment is the valuation of the individual. They must be allowed to feel their value, their worth, their deservability. They must be allowed to know they are loved, supported, and deserving of nurturing. This can be taught, reflected, shown in any number of creative ways. Of course, it will depend upon the specific individual as to perhaps what way, what methodology, what reflection, what example might be best for them. But it must all hinge, as you say, on deservability, valuation, worth. Basic, fundamental worth and value. That's where it must start. And from there it will grow. Because once an individual knows that they have value, and they do just because they exist, because creation does not do anything valueless. So if they know that just because they exist they have value, they can begin to add the building blocks of any other specific way in which they may wish to express the idea of their value. Is this making some sense so far?
Well, I thought I had a different opinion on what that could have been caused by.
Yes. All right, well, do share.
Could it be possible that my mother has hybrid children?
And so how would that be a direct cause?
Taken away from her.
And so what would that imply?
I don't think I quite understand what you mean by imply.
Right. The idea of perceiving that you are in a situation in which you are out of control means you have no value. You understand?
Yes.
It means you are devalued in your own eyes, in your own definition of yourself. But the only reason an individual would react that way in any given situation is if they have already been given the building blocks of those definitions, and those blocks have already been put in place so that their proclivity would be to assume the victim position, the valueless position, when they are confronted with an issue of power. Make sense?
Yes, it does.
So that must be replaced. Those blocks of devaluation must be torn down. Blocks of valuation must be built up so that they will respond differently to any such circumstances, be they earthly or otherwise. Then and then only will they be able to determine how they wish to participate in any such thing, and they then can see that they have the ability to choose more equally, in a more balanced way, what kind of effect any such interactions would have on their lives and what they can do about it. Do you follow me?
Yes, I do.
Does this help you?
Actually, I was wondering if I asked one more question. If I
that
could.
Was a question. So I suppose you can.
All right. I was wondering if you could tell me the names of my hybrid brothers and or sisters.
No.
Okay, thank you.
One, two, three, four. Keep track of yourselves. That's it. One, two, three, four. Do you know who you are? Yes.
I'm one.
Andrew. Did you get it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hello.
Andrew, you good day.
Recently I was told...
One moment.
Yes.
Notice that sometimes we can say no and say yes in the next minute. Because things have changed. Sometimes when we say no, it's for the purpose of eliciting a change within you that will allow us to say yes. How you responded when we said no allowed us to say yes. Do you follow?
Yes, I do.
And that is a clue for you as to how to access the rest of the information you seek on that topic. All right?
Okay.
Begin with Andrew and work your way down the alphabet. Yes, number one. Good day.
Good
you
day.
Were told?
I was told recently that I am not fully human in this lifetime, that I am part E.T.
Yes, well,
and that I'm here as
what?
A, what?
all
of us. Good, okay. I thought it was kind of a stage play, but...
Yes. Now, understand. Mm-hmm. The idea at this point is that there are a number of blended genetics in all of humanity. There are different reasons for different individuals to recognize, realize, and or connect in an aware way to that idea. You don't all have to, and you don't all want to, mm-hmm. for positive and or negative reasons. But all of you at this point are all mixed up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely will agree with that.
And so now it's not so much the issue that you are genetically many different things, but what you think you need to do with that idea on the earth.
Okay.
So, what will you do with that idea on the earth? Because you are, after all, as best as can be said in a general context, human.
Okay. And it was stated that I am a catalyst for change for others.
I see. And do you understand this and or relate to it?
That's what I've been trying to understand. I look at it, the places I end up or I am put, as where that could be true.
All right. Well, when you are told things like that, mm-hmm. what does it invoke within your imagination as to how to interpret such a thing? Or what to do with such information?
Yeah.
Ponder, ponder.
Ponder, ponder, yes. Well, whatever I want to do with it.
Thank you. It is as simple as that, if you let it be. Okay. Follow your joy. Follow your highest excitement. That is who you are. That vibration is who you are. And that will allow you to be the shining example you need to be, whether you're aware of it or not. Being a catalyst doesn't mean you have to be aware that you are. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is be yourself as best as you can be. You will be a catalyst. I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. Because, no offense, it's so rare when any of you are really yourselves, you will stand out. Believe me. People will not but be able to help notice. And you will then be, in a sense, a catalyst in whatever way they choose to relate to you. Being a catalyst doesn't mean that they all of a sudden have to feel like being sweetness and light. Mm-hmm. But being a catalyst means you are willing to be the trigger for whatever serves them best in their choice. Do you follow?
Yes.
Which is why all the things we share with all of you, no matter what it is we say works for us, if you decide it doesn't work for you, we don't care. Because we love you too much to insist that you have to believe what we say. Because we know that there are no accidents. You will get out of it what you wish. You will apply the information how you wish, to where you wish, when you wish. And that's as it should be. And that's as we would only wish it to be. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Very much.
Does this address your situation?
Yes, it does.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Number two. And to you, good day.
Bashar.
Yes?
I first heard your voice about 10 years ago when Robert played me a tape in Sydney.
All right. Well, it's not my voice, but I understand.
Well, there was an immediate connection with you.
All right.
And then 5 years ago, you confirmed to me that I'd been on board one of your ships.
Yes.
Can you tell me more of what that was about? Because I'm living in Australia, and
yes.
it's fairly isolated there. It's hard to get...
Isolated? Well,
it appears to...
Isolated in what way?
Well, it's isolated from most of your contacts or where you seem to appear.
That is not so.
I know it's not so, which is why I'm there.
Well, did you not then just contradict yourself?
Well, can you confirm... Yes. Can you confirm or clear up my confusion?
About what?
Why am I appeared to be so separated from the being that I was on your ship? Why was I on board your ship, and did I make some sort of agreement with you, which is why I've come from Sydney to here?
The idea is, again, similar to what we have discussed, in that you are being shown more of your true self. You are, shall we put it more precisely, allowed to feel what it's like to be more of your true self. All you have to do is remember that feeling and live in it, and there will be no isolation. But yes. That's the key. The key is that if you stay in that frequency, in that state of being, in that feeling, and then come from that feeling, come from that state when you create, you will be more harmoniously aligned with the self you were, your true self, on the ship. You follow that?
Yes, yes, I do.
That's all it takes, is the state. Remember what it felt like. Conjure that feeling up. And all of you can do that. Anytime you remember in any way, shape, or form the idea of feeling happy, joyful, in the moment, creative, love, bliss, ecstasy, spontaneity, conjure that feeling up and remember. The memory is the thing. You create memory in the present. It isn't a memory of the past. You are creating it now as you remember it. And all you have to do is understand that as you create that vibration, you are in that vibration. And as you are in that vibration, you are in the reality that is representative of that vibration. And all you have to do is continue to behave as if you know that. and you will see the reflection of that reality as it goes hand in hand with the frequency that you are willing to continue to choose moment after moment after moment after moment after moment after moment after moment. Did that make any sense?
It did. I'm still puzzled because I have experienced that, like, for me it was the ultimate experience where there's no time.
Yes.
Why do we choose to come back here?
Because you have work to do.
What is that work?
To live your life. To experience the self you have chosen to be in this format. I'll put it to you on a grander scale. Many of you, and we a little bit hear this in the undertone of your comment, many of you somehow assume that the timeless state is the thing that should always be there, as if that is somehow better than time and space. Timelessness is grand, and you can learn to use it. But the idea is that you want to experience. You want to experience. Experience can only be had in time and space. Change takes place in timelessness. But because change takes place in timelessness, you have no experience to remember of the change. You're simply different. And then you have an experience of the difference. But in order to have an experience of the difference, you have to have time and space. You want to admire and appreciate the mechanism of creation, and so you have created a place wherein it's possible to have time and space in which to experience the act of creation itself, instead of the pure creation which takes place in timelessness and of which you can have no experience and thus no appreciation. Did that make any sense?
It did. I'm still puzzled is why come through you, or what is my connection with you or with your people?
Simply that there are those of you that will be similar in vibrational frequency to those of us, and thus like attracts like.
And one final question.
Yeah.
I was doing some channeling for a while.
Yeah.
Can you tell me who the beings or the being who was speaking through me? I couldn't get any information.
Then I will also do you no such disservice. But remember, the labels are not important for many of you for now. It would actually be in your best interest if you were not to differentiate the idea into a concrete personality. Because the idea is that you're simply supposed to go with the feeling and the message and not stick a label on the messenger. You know that that hasn't worked very well in your history. And I don't mean you personally. I mean the human history. When you focus on the messenger, the message, well, you know, goes in that appliance that you flush. So for now, allow yourself to simply focus on the feeling and not worry so much as exactly who, where, what, when, why, how, but just the idea of the experience.
Well, that's what I've done.
Thank you. Then you are doing exactly what you need to do.
Thank you, Bashar.
And the next.
Bashar.
No, no, no. But you can be five.
Okay.
Yes.
Good evening, Bashar.
And you good day.
I would like to address a situation that happened to me. And
all right. Get out your envelope.
In my master bedroom.
Yes.
Several months ago.
Oh, a master bedroom. Not an apprentice bedroom. But a master bedroom. All right, go ahead.
I walked around a corner towards the bed.
Yes.
And I looked at my VCR.
Yes.
And on the VCR digital clock, it was reading 11 o'clock in the morning. And also 11:11.
Yes.
And
this is kind of common for many of you to see these kinds of synchronous numbers reflected back to you.
And at that moment, an entity entered into the room.
Yes.
In a energy form, not
yes.
not a gray being.
Understood.
But it was long, as if it was body-like.
Yes.
But no eyes, no.
Yes.
Just energy.
Yes.
And I was frozen and
yes.
in awe. Of
all
this
right.
entity. Oh. Through your teachings, I did not panic.
Thank you.
But after the entity left and I walked up the hallway, I was mad at myself for not saying, hello, thank you for taking the time out to visit me.
You mean
I didn't say anything.
You said that just because it didn't come out of your mouth, it wasn't said?
Well...
I want you all to understand something now very important. All time is one time. The event is who you are. And in the event, if you would want it to have contained sharing, greetings, communications, exchanges, then assume that it did, even though your personality and your mind can't necessarily be aware of exactly how it did. The event itself, that it happened, reflected by the idea of 1111, which represents the opening of a door, the opening of a gate, that it happened is in and of itself the act of a hello, a greeting, an exchange, an openness, a sharing, a loving, an acceptance. The act itself said all those things. Why be redundant?
I guess through human teaching.
Yes, well.
But could you tell me, was this a spiritual entity, an entity for Esasani, or...
No, not exactly. It is more connected to the idea of serious energy, but we will go no further than that.
All right, one other item addressing the idea of Bashar tapes.
One moment. I want you to understand, I will just say it this way. Rarely do we say anything that doesn't have a reason for being said. And though many of you may think we were just joking around when we said master bedroom, I want you to think back on this experience and understand that we meant it in a very specific way, and that it will give you a stronger clue as to what that encounter and that event was really all about energetically. All right?
All right.
And now, go on.
Addressing the idea of Bashar tapes on Bashar Tape History 101.
Yes?
You said that the moon was so large compared to the parent planet because the planet used to be larger. And then on a tape, Bashar tape of 1997, called The Engine of Ascension, you said that the founders brought the moon to the Earth system.
Yes.
So I was wondering, was there two moons?
No.
And
we did not mean to imply the idea of time in those statements. The idea of the Earth being larger has to do with the idea of the Earth's energy, and now its density, its compactness in containing all that energy in a smaller space, so to speak, in a denser time-space continuum, and thus the size of the moon needing to reflect that. It had nothing to do with the idea of what you would call solar system dynamic formity. Did you follow that?
Well, to some extent.
In other words, we were not saying that the bodies formed together and that the size of the moon was germane to the size of the Earth at the time of formation. We were saying that the Earth used to be bigger in terms of its expansiveness, its energy, and thus the moon needed to be of a certain size to balance that out, to equal it out, for a variety of reasons. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Number four. Female.
Hello, Bashar.
Andy, you good day?
I've come across a substance that I know a couple people who are taking it and seem to be having dramatic results with it. It's called hydrogen-enhanced silica.
Nice.
And it supposedly balances your pH. It's the most powerful antioxidant available. And
well, it's not the most powerful one, but it can be powerful, yes.
And it increases electrical conductivity.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so that was my first question, is this what they claim that it is?
When created purely and when applied in appropriate circumstances and situations, yes, it does.
And what would be appropriate dosages, or is that totally individual?
It is.
Okay, and is this something that would be beneficial to me also?
In small amounts, perhaps, in certain circumstances, yes.
But not daily?
No.
What dosages are you talking about?
Three milligrams every other or third day.
Okay. Also, on the topic of self-love and self-acceptance.
Yes!
Since this is the most important thing that we can give to ourselves, but since, as you were
it's
mentioning...
It's all you have to give to yourself.
Okay.
And because what you're doing is giving yourself yourself.
And as you mentioned earlier, many,
yes,
many times there are blocks put into place, ways of thinking that,
yes,
are automatically will assume a stance with,
yes,
the self,
yes,
that is negative in some way.
In a sense, yes.
Can you elaborate more on sort of practically how you go about enhancing your self-love?
Oh, practically?
Well,
give yourself a hug every morning, noon, and night. Look in the mirror and say, I love you, every morning, noon, and night. Smile a lot. Run and play a lot. Drink a lot of water. Breathe deeply.
And how about, like, you run into circumstances that may automatically trigger old patterns of belief?
Do you know that they are automatically,
well,
being triggered?
That's the point, is that I think that often many of us don't know when they're,
but
being,
but you do. Because you have,
no,
just said so.
I don't think I know all of them. Otherwise.
Yes, you do, because you just said so. Any time that it appears as if you don't, you are choosing not to. Remember,
right,
what you just said.
All right, so, okay, but the point is...
Yes. You asked us to make it practical.
Okay.
We are making it as practical as possible. Therefore, when you run into such circumstances where you feel yourself being triggered, all you have to do is remember this conversation and say, oh, yes, I am choosing to be triggered, and now it means I am aware that I am choosing to be triggered, and so I am no longer triggered. End of story.
How does that relate to, like, going into the energy states that we've talked about, where, you know, you're in that very high vibration and you're feeling very positive? How can you use that also to enhance self-love?
You want me to cut, as you say, to the chase?
Sure.
Stop asking these kinds of questions. You are making it complicated by asking for patterns and courses, and how do you do this, and how do you do that, and what kind of process is needed in this case, and what do you do about that when that happens? You have all the understanding you need, but it comes right down to, once again, as we have said before to you, you just don't believe that you do. And so you're not willing to act like you do, and so you don't get to see that you do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I know. But you just don't want to hear it that way. Because you're trying to stretch it out.
Stretch it out?
Yes, you're trying to stretch it out. You're trying to keep me talking. You're trying to keep me noticing you, paying attention to you, feeding you. Your feathers have come in, your wings are strong, leave the nest. You know how to fly. Why? Because it's your instinct. It's your natural self. You just don't believe it.
Maybe if you purr, that'll help.
We cannot purr and chirp in the same interaction.
You've left me speechless.
Well, we've actually accomplished something. Now you have achieved mastery.
Oh, with that beautiful diploma.
Thank you.
I'll let you go. Thank you.
Number five. Pass the magic stick.
Good day, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
Bashar, I had a dream, a really vivid dream just recently where...
Well, all right.
And I'd like your idea of what it meant. I was approached by this rancher who said that he had a large ranch and it was also connected to a national forest.
Yes.
And if he could borrow one of my horses...
Yes.
That I could ride with him on his ranch and in the forest. And, of course, I've been having this strong feeling that I need to get out in nature a lot. So
oh, well, all right. So
really
you cleared that part of the dream up.
Yeah. But all of a sudden I turned and looked, and the horse that I had loaned him
yes.
was leaping off of this cliff.
Yes.
And it was like I caught it in midair, and I thought, oh, no, that horse is going to jump off this cliff.
Yes.
And it just was still in midair for a bit.
Yes, and?
And then
like
the ranch...
Like
me.
Yes. In limbo, hanging.
Yes.
Not sure whether to let yourself completely jump or whether to go back.
Okay, well, the rancher said to me, who was at
yes.
my right side, and then he seemed more like a Native American shaman, maybe.
Yes,
but
all
he
right.
said, it's okay. Just let the horse leap.
Yes.
So
leap of faith.
And so I looked down, and there was a pool of water like you see in Yellowstone Park. The,
yes.
You know, real clear water with... You know,
yes.
mineral water.
Yes.
And the,
we
and
have
the horse
clear water
disappeared.
On our planet, yes.
Yeah. And the horse disappeared into that.
Yes.
And again, I had great concern because he came up with his nose up, but it seemed like that's all, and then he just sunk below the water.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden my bear rug went in too.
Yes.
And some other article that
all
appeared
right.
to be mine.
All symbols of your own power.
And it all went into this,
yes.
this spring.
Yes. Are you telling me you don't get this? Is that what you want us to believe?
Well,
that somehow this is opaque to you?
Well, the thing that I believe I understand, but I
do?
Just wanted
well,
to
then tell us. What do you understand?
Well, horses have been very symbolic all my life to me because, first of all, I'm a Sagittarian.
All right,
and
well, very good.
Second of all, I love horses.
All right, well, in that you are also connecting it to the idea of what you call American Indians. The horse represents the new way.
Ah.
The new path. Take it. Take the leap. And understand, as we have recently discussed, diving. Diving into the water. If you dive with resistance...
Yes?
You hit the water hard. It's like a wall. Smack, crack. You break. If you dive with grace, you enter the water smoothly, effortlessly, soundlessly. Do you understand the difference?
Yes. Except that I'm not clear on the leap I'm to take at this point.
You're not? The leap is to be your full self as best you can. Are you doing everything in your life that you would deem to be representative of the most exciting things you could do? Or are you holding back?
I must be holding back because I can't, right now, I can't get in touch with what's the most exciting thing.
You can't?
Well, I haven't, or I've not
you
allowed
haven't?
Myself to.
Well, it's not that complicated, you know. Do you want us to help illuminate this idea
yes,
once again?
I would like you to.
All right. May I ask you a question first?
Yes.
Thank you. Why did you attend this interaction?
Because I love learning.
Because you love learning. So what you're telling me is that out of all the options you had available to you at that particular moment, you chose the one that excited you the most?
Yes.
Well, you see, that wasn't so hard.
No.
Are you telling me that you don't believe that that's all you have to do every moment? That it's got to be more complicated than that?
I'm wanting to learn that it isn't more complicated than
well,
that.
Well, you just did learn that.
Yes.
You already did it.
Yes.
And it isn't any more complicated than that. All you have to do at the end of this interaction, or even in the middle of it, is decide that about all the options that are available to you to act upon in the next moment, choose the one that contains the highest excitement and act to the best of your ability on it. And in the next moment, choose again. And then the next moment, choose again. Whatever it is that contains the highest excitement, whatever it is, that contains the highest excitement, act on it to the degree that you are capable of acting on it to the best of your ability. That's all you have to do. Moment to moment to moment to moment, every day. That's all you have to do, and you will be living your highest excitement.
Okay, now, one
yes.
more question.
Yes.
I have friends who want me to run for public office.
Do you want to?
I didn't feel excited about it when they mentioned it.
Oh, all right. Do you now?
I'm still...
All right. Always understand that you have the ability, all of you, to check on yourself in the following way. Once again, when something is offered to you, when a potential opportunity comes up, allow yourself to ask yourself, well, is it exciting or not exciting because of how I'm coloring it, or because it really is representative of who I am? Once you have made that honest assessment, are you downplaying it, not allowing it to be as exciting as it actually could be because you're afraid of something, because of a definition, because you are putting the definition on it? Or is it really not your excitement? Or are you allowing something to seem exciting that really isn't your highest excitement because you're actually afraid to go in the direction of your highest excitement, and you're just labeling this as exciting so that you won't have to face the change that you have to make, which you fear will be not exciting? You have to ask yourself those kinds of questions. And when you determine whether or not what you've been offered really is or isn't exciting, then you will know what to do. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And that's what I've been doing, is reflecting every
all
day.
Right.
You know, is
you don't have to make a decision now.
Okay.
Does that help you?
That helps a lot, Richard. Thank you so much.
And
what?
And if you decide to go in that direction, well, I would suggest that perhaps you could saunter. You don't have to run for office.
Thank
you. Could stroll for office.
I love it. That's
a lot. Because perhaps that's what's scaring you, is that you feel you have to run.
That is it. You
yes.
You got it right there.
So stroll for office. If that's what'll make it exciting, then stroll. One of the ways to check and see whether or not a thing really excites you is to examine it from all possible definitional angles. And when you change the definition, see if it becomes all of a sudden exciting. And when you change the definition and all of a sudden it is exciting, you know you've hit the mark. And you know you're on track.
Well, you hit the mark.
No, you did.
Okay, you helped.
Thank you. Always willing to do that. Does that help you then?
That helped me a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Number six.
Some help.
Wait a minute. What happened to hello and good day?
I did that telepathically.
Yeah. All right.
Like this afternoon.
After I said what happened.
Well, we have to keep everybody up to speed with us.
I see.
I need some help finishing decoding an event.
Decoding an event. All right, describe, define the event.
I was recently involved in an accident.
Of what nature are you referring to?
Automobile accident.
Yes.
And I want to emphasize here, I mean, I'm real, real down with the concept of being jarred into awareness or whatever with that.
Down with it. All right, momentary translation, we understand.
Okay.
And
there's not a person who's more self-accepting and
yes, there is, but I'll take you at your word.
I mean, I'm really doing that a lot.
All right.
So
and
I don't feel like I needed to have my car. And here's the circumstances.
Yes.
Just real quick. I was, you know, if it were my fault or if I was, you know, doing something. No, I was sitting at a stoplight, stopped.
Yes.
And this huge truck knocked my car into its next life. And
maybe that's where you wanted to be.
Well, I do have an issue with that.
Oh, I see. You're sure you're completely self-accepting?
Well, no, not completely.
Thank you.
But that doesn't have anything to do with my car.
Are you sure? It's your vehicle. It's your vehicle. It symbolizes how you believe you get from one place to another. If your car felt it, in a sense, reflected the idea of taking a knock to get you to move, maybe you're not so sure you don't need a knock to move where you say you want to be. Not that you need one, but maybe you think you do, after all.
But I understand that concept so well, I don't understand why I would need to still create that. And I'm, like, working really hard on moving. I have passion, I'm following my joy, I'm doing
what I want.
Do
you remember what we said about the idea of what true change represents? Of how you tell what true change is? I'll repeat it if you want.
Well, let me try.
Oh, all right.
When you really change inside and you're not looking to the outside to have to reflect that back to you.
Which means, in your behavior?
You act differently.
Yes. You respond differently to what happens, knowing that what happens is something that you chose as an event.
Right, and I was real. I mean, like when the accident happened, you
yes.
remember your.
Well, one moment. Remember that you said, "Well, I didn't need this," but you chose it. So you must have thought you did. So that's a contradiction.
Okay, which gets me in touch with my feelings.
All right, thank you.
I did my homework on this.
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
It made me feel like no matter how much work or introspection or control, and I know that's not really into
Go
control.
Ahead, I'll let you get away with that
thank
one.
Thank you.
Because I understand where you're going.
Okay, that...
Yes.
The grand piano's going to drop out of the sky. There's nothing I could have done in that circumstance.
All right, very good. And here is, as you say, the $64 million question. And why is this event not part of your joy instead of being labeled an interruption in it?
Well, I really did that. That's what I tried to do. I was just going to say...
But that's not what you're doing now.
Well, because I'm covering that side of it. That's how I got through the experience. That's how I didn't just go into meltdown, was doing what you just said. I
yes.
was like, oh,
so
I'm,
you have used
I'm,
it.
I'm sitting there on the street. Oh, I'm so happy this happened. Yeah. This is a wonderful thing.
Now, one moment. Understand, of course, and I know you do. We are not talking about glossing things over.
Right.
We are not talking about pretending and covering up real feelings. That's not what we talk about when we talk about the idea of be positive. You can understand that you can feel a lot of pain in this circumstance and situation, but that it's all right to feel that pain. It's all right. I don't mean you have to go around going, I'm happy I'm in pain. However, you understand that it's all right that things are the way they are because you're going to be using it for a particular reason.
Basically, what I got out of it was that it was, in fact, to jar me out of my inertia.
All right, and so you admit that that is something you believed you needed.
Well, but I thought I was past that. I really
you
thought
keep saying
I was past
that. How about if I say this to you and see what kind of feelings this stirs up in you? Get ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, that's...
It's going to be what you call a zinger.
I've got rubber shoes on.
I'll have to ask your permission. All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
You will never be past it. Ever. Ever, 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 no, not ever will you be past the possibility of experiencing transformation that way. But that's the point. When it's all right with you, not just that those things might happen, when it's all right with you that they might happen forever.
Okay,
then it will be less likely they will need to happen.
Okay, so
but if you keep assuming that you're supposed to get past that point, you will never get past that point because there is no point to get past because there's only here and now and you can't get past here and now.
Okay. I can even... That's cool. I can do... So was this just an exercise that I was for myself to
yes,
see how I would handle it?
For exactly what you're going through now. For you to learn what you have learned generally and to specifically understand that it has to be all right. It has to be all right that you might never get past it. And paradoxically, it will never happen again. But only when it's all right that it might happen at any moment. That is true surrender. If you keep on guard, if you keep a watch out, oh, well, now, yes, whew, I'm past that. That'll never happen again. Bang! The universe will prove to you you are never past anything. Anything can always happen. Anything can always happen. And, in fact, that's what you're learning. by expanding, by becoming more of your consciousness, that's what you learn, is that at any given moment, anything is possible. And when that's okay, then what will manifest will be representative of your willingness and allowance to let anything be possible. And the willingness and allowance is what will feel more smooth and not have to be reflected in what you typically call extremes as you have described it. But again, paradoxically, it has to be all right for such an extreme to happen for it not to need to happen. Does that make more sense? Does that sink in?
Yeah.
That's why you gave yourself the smack. To remind yourself that that possibility will never vanish. Ever, 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 ever. The possibility will never vanish because all things exist here and now. Does that put you at ease?
Immensely. I'm at total peace.
Thank you. If you are willing truly to be at total peace with that, you will not then have to be in total pieces. Yes.
Just one last quick one.
Yes.
Is our planet in a different position? Like when I lay out the sun looks like in a way different place. Are we in a different place?
You are always slightly in a different position, but there are different energy surges and different things that are happening in relationship between your Earth and the Sun and the coming into a new cycle of relationship. So in a sense, very much so in energy, yes, and slightly physically, yes, as well.
Hmm. Thank you.
You. Then the female. Number two, do you know who you are?
Yes.
All right. Number one, good day.
Good day. A question. Within a linear timeline,
yes.
The question of the paradox has always intrigued me.
Yes.
If indeed someone does travel back in time, and
so to speak,
and does an act which would, in the future timeline, create that traveler from being born, if they return to that timeline, would they still exist?
Yes. You know why?
Yes, because he was originally... I feel that because he was originally created, he could not destroy himself retroactively.
The point is this. The traveler can go, apparently, back into time, destroy any chance he has of being born, and still be just fine. You know why?
Not necessarily.
Oh, thank you. Because what you're really looking at are discrete parallel realities. What you perceive as linear time isn't really one timeline. It's an infinite number of timelines. The idea is that what you experience now is what you experience now. That's your time. Going into an area where you quote-unquote meet yourself is actually meeting another of yourself. Do you follow?
Yes.
Because in your own created history, did you remember meeting yourself?
No.
Well then...
Indeed.
That you will never have met yourself from the future. So the past self that meets the future self will be another past self. Because everything you can imagine is somewhere real right now. Simultaneously interpenetrated, interlocked, and going on. So that past you is not the past you of you, it's another past you. It's its own reality altogether. And really doesn't have to have a connection in continuity, linearly, to the idea of what you are referring to. Does that make some sense to you?
Perfectly, thank you.
Thank you.
Also,
yes.
There seems to be a lot of concern now about the supposed Y2K problem that is going to be occurring.
Yes. Some individuals will have a few problems with it. Some yes. individuals will not.
Okay, in your perception, there's not going to be a global shutdown of computer systems and all this nonsense people keep referring to?
There may be localized difficulties, and maybe not even for that reason. We will not go deeply into that. Again, suffice to say, those that are of a certain frequency will already have alternate systems in place when they need to. And I'm not just necessarily referring to the idea of computer systems. Don't worry, just relax. All right?
I'm not.
I know.
Thank you.
Thank you. Number two.
Oh, all right. Let's wait for Michael.
Bashar.
And to you, good day.
Bashar, I was just wondering, after we die, and if we meet our loved ones,
yes,
how do we recognize them? In other
how
words,
could you not?
I don't know. That's what I don't understand is, let's yes, say if my mother died when she was 20 and I died when I was 70, would I see her? I mean, she'd look younger than I would and I'd look old, or is it a
all right, energy thing?
Or?
Yes, yes, yes. First of all, yes, the recognition is an energy thing, first of all.
Okay.
You just know who they are. You just recognize them. However, because you are now, in a sense, in a world of spirit, and you are a world spirit in that sense, you are made of spirit, you can appear, you can make an appearance, project an appearance in any way, shape, or form you want, and so can she.
Okay.
And so she can look any way she wants. She can look in whatever way will be symbolic of what would be most recognizable to you. But that will be a reflection of what she gets from you,
right,
as what would be most recognizable. Do you follow?
I follow.
Unless there is a purpose in you not recognizing them right away. And then she will look like that. Sometimes guides will also take the appearance of someone that someone would recognize, even though they are not classically that person and never have been, just to put the person at ease in their transition.
Okay.
Do you follow that?
Yes, I do.
Really, you are, and again, in a world of imagination where there really isn't a time lag between what you think and what you perceive. Mm-hmm. What you feel is what you are and how you present yourself. And to whatever degree you still relate to the idea of time, space, and matter is usually the degree to which you will make a presentment that will have some resemblance to physicality. Because sometimes, especially if in your terms they have been dead for a long time, they really have no physical presentment that you would recognize left at all. They may just be a glowing energy or something even more nondescript. But if you need to look at them and see them in a certain way because you are still so used to the idea of perceiving people that way, then you will perceive them as you need to, and that's what will work.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. I thought it was that, but I just wanted your confirmation.
Yes.
One other thing is, after when I die
yes,
in this life, can I be reincarnated in Esasani?
Yes. And again, please again remember, all of you, that this is just a linear terminology. All existences and all events and all experiences that you call incarnations and otherwise are all going on right now. So, on one hand, yes, euphemistically, linearly, conveniently, you can die and you can reincarnate in another life, on another planet, or on Earth, or what have you. However, you will always be you. You, physically, will always be physical. You, as a spirit, when you die, will always be a spirit. You will always be there. You'll always be accessible there. And the you that you think of yourself as the reincarnated you, is a distinctly different you. But you can make a linear connection to have the experience of a linear continuity from one life to another. But all those lives are discrete. They are all autonomous. They are all self-aware of themselves as their own realities right now. Make sense?
Yes, and I will know that when I'm in an...
You will know it in whatever way you need to
know
it, in whatever way that serves you to know it, based on what kind of experience you believe you need. Do you follow?
Yes.
Then, understanding that, we will extend once again to each and every one of you our deepest appreciation for this reflection and for allowing us to be momentarily, temporarily, a mirror to remind you that anything and everything you have ever realized within this interaction has been because you gave it to yourself. I have given you nothing except an opportunity to love yourself, and that is what has given you everything else. And you have allowed us to experience the gift of being allowed to give the opportunity. And we thank you for that great gift. Our unconditional love to each and every one of you and all of you and your whole world and your whole being and all your spirits and all your hearts and all your minds and all your bodies and all your souls forever. Good day. How did it go? Thank you all very much for being here today. And please enjoy yourselves, and I'll see you again. Thank you.